hospitals around Wisconsin that are already near capacity with COVID-19 patients are taking extreme steps to prepare for a continued surge of new cases and new hospitalizations. In just a few minutes, we'll talk to the president of the Wisconsin Hospital Association. First, in the state's northwestern region, Rich Kramer reports that the Mayo Clinic Health System is adding beds and out-of-state staff.
On a cold November night outside the Mayo Clinic Health System's Eau Claire Hospital, things look pretty normal. If anything, the parking lot seems a bit empty, while the occasional ambulance pulls up to the back of the hospital's emergency department. In this case, looks are deceiving, because inside, staff are taking unprecedented steps to make room for more patients suffering with COVID-19, 2 weeks after Mayo announced all of its beds in northwestern Wisconsin were full.
Our surge plan expands into the garage. It opens up more beds. We're expanding into lobbies. We're putting people where we wouldn't normally put patients.
That's emergency room doctor Sue Cullinan recording a video diary entry October 12th. In another entry, she's checking out space in the heated ambulance garage where Mayo has since set up 4 hospital beds.
Not where I'd want to put my grandfather or my grandmother. It may have to happen.
Dr. Paul Horvath is another ER physician with Mayo. During a recent shift, regional hospitals ran out of space for new patients.
And literally every bed in northwest Wisconsin was full, and hospitals just weren't able to admit new patients, which means that I had the challenge of managing ICU-level care in my ER for hours, which is obviously not routine.
When emergency rooms fill up, Horvath says paramedics have to find new places to bring patients that are further away and may not have the same level of staff or equipment to treat the critically ill. Once in the ER, Horvath says it's hard to comfort scared patients through layers of protective equipment. It's also harder to coordinate care.
It's oftentimes difficult to communicate between the care team that are in the room as we're doing tasks with monitors beeping and staff yelling to try to talk above the monitor and through the physical barriers in front of our faces.
Mike Davis of Eau Claire has seen the hospital's transformation as a staffer and a patient. The self-described husky farm boy from northern Wisconsin began feeling worn down in late August, but the seriousness of his illness wasn't clear until he was watching the Packers-Vikings game September 13th.
I don't remember any of this. My wife tells me when I wasn't watching the Packer game, I went to the bathroom and my lips were blue. But then she took me to the emergency room and I was intubated. They took fluid from my lungs, and the fluid from my lungs tested positive for COVID right away.
Davis had worked at the hospital for 20 years imaging hearts and was now being treated by longtime colleagues and friends who kept him alive despite having respiratory failure twice.
You know, I was systemically starting to succumb to it because my lungs were so full of fluid. I had such bad COVID pneumonia that I was dying, essentially. But my heart kept me going.
The deluge of COVID-19 patients is taking an emotional toll on healthcare workers, picking up extra shifts and tending to patients who cannot see their loved ones. Mayo Chief Nursing Officer for Northwestern Wisconsin, Pam White, recalled a nurse helping a man about to be intubated call his wife, not knowing whether he would see her again.
It's happening every day. We have families dying in the hospital. It's really hard from my healthcare perspective because people can drive by the hospital and it looks normal. The walls don't look any different outside the hospital. It's everything that's happening inside the hospital that is really quite challenging, and it's hard to appreciate until you've actually experienced it.
Wisconsin Hospital Association Director Eric Borgeting says while hospitals may be able to create more beds for new patients, the biggest challenge is staffing them.
We have hundreds, if not thousands, of healthcare workers out right now because they've had some sort of an exposure in the community.
Borgeting hopes to see significant bipartisan action from state lawmakers and Governor Tony Evers to support hospitals working to recruit more staff. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now, the Wisconsin Hospital Association is calling on Governor Evers and legislative leaders to work together to limit the spread of COVID-19 infections. In a letter last week, it said healthcare workers are feeling burned out from long hours and emotional stress. And without meaningful, swift, and unified action to address the problem, the healthcare crisis will turn into catastrophe. The State Department of Health Services reported no new deaths yesterday for the first time in more than a month, but more than 1,000 people have died over the last 30 days. The Hospital Association says just shy of 2,000 patients are in the hospital today, slightly down from a peak of about 2,300 a week ago. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you a healthcare worker on the front lines of COVID-19? Tell us about your experiences and how you're feeling about the virus's spread. Have you or someone you know been hospitalized with COVID? And what would you like to see elected leaders do about the problem? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Eric Borgerding is president of the Wisconsin Hospital Association. Eric, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
What did you call from Governor Evers, from legislative leaders that could help deal with this rush of COVID-19 patients into the state's hospitals?
Well, first and foremost, we are urgently calling on our elected leaders to come together around some common ground. And there's several areas where we think and hope that could take place, but it really falls into two buckets. One is slowing the spread of COVID, because that is truly the root cause of everything your listeners just heard in those previous stories. And second of all, coming together around strategies and resources to expand the capacity of the healthcare system to sustain and expand the capacity of our healthcare system to address the really surging demand for patient care. And by the way, not just demand for patient care related to COVID, but it is important that Wisconsin, to the greatest extent possible, maintain, that our healthcare system maintain capacity for non-COVID patients as well. COVID is crowding out, if you will, the ability of our healthcare system to provide that very important care for some non-COVID, you know, non-emergency, but non-COVID patients as well. And so really, you know, we're not prone to sending letters, you know, publicly like that. We do try to affect public policy in a lot of different ways, but the situation has gotten to a point where we really need a unified, to the greatest extent possible, a unified response for the state of Wisconsin. And the place where that is playing out right now is in our state capitol, between the governor and our legislative leaders.
Have you gotten any kind of response to your letter, either directly addressing these things or in what you've seen from the governor and lawmakers over the last few days?
Well, you know, we're hopeful. We're very cautiously optimistic. So if you think about it, starting week before last, I think it was, the governor had given a speech televised across the state. And I thought the tone of that was very positive and really not partisan. And I thought that was the right thing that was needed at that time, even though COVID has really been kind of a partisan issue. And then that was responded to by Speaker Robin Voss in an equally sort of collaborative tone and desire. And so they have met. I believe they're continuing to have conversations, you know, conversations, action does not necessarily yield. But having said that, you know, this is better than it's been over the last several months. I'd like to think that our letter and our call for action has spurred or added to some of the conciliatory tones. Because that's really what we need right now. We need to set aside partisan differences to the greatest extent possible. I know how difficult that is to do. I've been in this business for a long time, and I appreciate politics, and I understand the dynamics, and I understand that you know, people have different philosophies and different approaches to policymaking. But I also believe firmly that our elected officials at the end of the day want to do what is best for the state of Wisconsin and its people and its communities. And they may differ on how to get there, but get there, we think they must. And so we are really hoping and trying to affect an outcome that is finding common ground to the greatest extent possible. I really think that, you know, politics, and I understand politics, and it is often a all or nothing game. 90% of the time, you know, or may, I don't know what the percentage is, but frequently when it's an all or nothing game, the result is nothing. And nothing is not what Wisconsin needs right now. So we continue to be cautiously optimistic. And I think it's be important that our elected leaders keep talking and find that common ground. And at the end of the day, put some meaningful public policy on the table that can actually be passed and implemented.
Right now, we're talking about the surge in COVID-19 cases in Wisconsin and the toll it's taking on hospitals and medical facilities around the state. Eric Borgerding is our guest, president of the Wisconsin Hospital Association. His organization sent a letter last week to Governor Evers and state legislative leaders urging immediate action. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see from the state's leaders? What kind of message do you want to hear from Governor Evers and Republican leaders in the Assembly and Senate? Call 800-642-1234. And has this affected you in your workplace or in your family? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's bring on a caller now. Jody is with us in Monona. Jody, hi.
Hi. Well, I'd like to see our legislature just work at least for 1 week, as hard as all of our health care providers are out there working for people who aren't taking the precautions necessary to keep themselves out of that situation. So I'd really like to see them take this seriously too.
Jody, thanks a lot for the call. Jody referencing the healthcare workers there, Eric. And we heard in that piece from Rich Kramer the idea that, okay, if you drive by a hospital, you don't see what's going on inside. The people working on inside have a very different upfront perspective on what's happening. How can we convey to the rest of us and the lawmakers what hospital workers are actually going through right now?
Yeah, I heard that story, a really well done story. He's a great reporter. And it's true. Healthcare deals with, you know, crisis situations, maybe on a much smaller scale or in microcosms on a daily basis. And our great healthcare providers and our healthcare leaders are, you know, they're inclined to be calm and handle these types handle crisis situations and emergencies in a very professional way that produces a great outcome. So it doesn't. I never thought of it the way that it was presented in the story, because I deal so much directly with our members and see virtually and verbally into the hospitals and the ICUs and the emergency rooms and the incident command meetings that are taking place every day at hospitals across the state. So we see firsthand how really difficult and challenging this all is, but you don't see that from the outside because, you know, of the calm and professional manner in which our great healthcare heroes do their job every day. But, you know, that is something that changing, I believe. The amount of media coverage, not only to the numbers, the data that are on dashboards, but what is the human toll behind that data? And the story that played gave you a glimpse into that, but that's playing out all across the state. And so we're working hard to draw attention to the impact and the toll this is all having on our healthcare system and on individuals and on families. And we're doing that through a coalition that we helped found. We're also doing that by giving our elected officials around the state the opportunity to see into, if you will, and hear directly from those incident command meetings that are going on across the state. No one tells the story and paints the picture of what is going on behind those seemingly placid walls, better hospital walls, than the healthcare heroes that are dealing with this fight every day, and we're doing everything we can to give them a voice and a microphone.
Jody, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Jane joins us next, calling from Menominee. Jane, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Jane?
What I want to bring up is that recently our legislatures from our area have put out a press release that said people should take every precaution to protect themselves and their family so we can bring down the number of cases and have access to health care. They said we should do it, but they didn't list in the press release, nor when they talk about it, what that is. I think they're afraid to say wearing a mask helps, you know, washing your hands help, 6 feet around apart helps. And I would really like for our legislators to model that. I think finally I saw one picture of Donald Trump coming off the helicopter with a mask on. And I think it's a big deal. I think it's necessary for those people to role model what they're suggesting, even though they actually didn't tell us. They just said do it, but didn't tell us what to do.
Jane, thanks a lot for the call. Can you talk, Eric, about the kind of things you're hoping people do in their daily lives to fill out that message that Jane was looking for in order, in part, to take the strain off of hospitals now?
Yeah, I think it's we co-founded a coalition a couple months ago now of now over 100 organizations, and really from all sort of walks of life, if you will, as it relates to industry. So, you know, the Restaurant Association, the Grocers Association, the Counties Association, numerous chambers of commerce across the state, the chain state chamber of commerce. You can go to our website at wha.org and learn more about that coalition. But the point is, you know, there's a lot of noise and differing opinions. This is unfortunately a political issue, which is part of the challenge around COVID from a public policy perspective is how political it is. Like I said earlier, our priority, the priority of the Wisconsin Hospital Association and the work we do as it relates to helping craft and implement public policy ultimately is really focusing on where we can find that common ground. You know, all or nothing, as I already said, typically yields nothing in politics. So having said all that, we've been focusing really on urging the public to do, you know, really some simple things, and not forever, you know, but some simple things that have been proven. And of course, that's argued about, but have been proven to help minimize the spread of COVID. Of course, wear a mask. Of course, you know, wash your hands. Practice social distancing, avoid large gatherings. And of course, you know, there's other things too that get into the politics, like mask mandates and all of that stuff. But we think it's important to find as much common ground where we can and move it forward. And so we've been continuing to focus on those three, four, or five things. The most recent example of that effort, there are actually two really important ones over the weekend. There was a letter signed by, you know, a couple thousand UW Health employees that appeared, I think, just in the Wisconsin State Journal, but may have been others, really just in a positive tone, urging people to take those kinds of steps. And then also this weekend, appearing in a number of editorial pages, was a letter signed by all of Wisconsin's hospital and health system physician leaders, their chief medical officers, really urging the same. So, you know, I understand Jane's point that we can talk about these things till we're blue in the face, but what we really need folks to do, and there have been a lot of people taking these really and adhering to consistently these simple precautions. We just need more to take up that cause and do it for hopefully just a little bit longer. But if we don't see progress in that area, I fear that the the spread of COVID will sort of continue in at the pace it has been. And if that's the case, we know that the impact on the healthcare system will also continue to not only where it's been, but will continue to grow.
Eric, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.
We've been talking to Eric Borgerding, president of the Wisconsin Hospital Association. We talked to him today about the group's call for Governor Evers and the legislature to act immediately to limit the spread of COVID-19 and to help deal with hospitals facing capacity and workforce concerns with a surge of COVID-19 patients. You can keep following the latest news about COVID-19 at WPR.org, our news team keeping on top of everything, and head over to wiscontext.org. They've been doing a great job of looking at the spread of the disease and efforts to try to slow it down and to treat people with it. Again, that's wiscontext.org.